Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
It's another sparkling hour of the program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Brian Weber with you on CBS Sports Radio. Hop aboard the iconic phone number, 1-800-636-8686. Emails, RomanAvatake.com. Open for business on Twitter. That's BW Weber. Coming up in 40 minutes, we talk golf with Tiger Woods now, making things interesting. He is wrapping up his second round at the Memorial. 4 over today. 3 over for the event with the projected cut line sitting at 2 over. We'll give you the details as we move along, because I used to be an update anchor. And more importantly, in 40 minutes, we'll have context from the renowned golf writer Robert Lucetich, who wrote a terrific book about Tiger entitled Unplayable. Coming up in 20 minutes, did Mike Tyson really decide to get back in the ring just to fight a shark? We're going to talk basketball, tipping off hour number two of the show. We spent the majority of the first hour understandably focusing on the debacle that is the NFL team in Washington with a effectively word salad statement from owner Dan Snyder. I won't read it again because he said nothing, because I think Snyder believes he has plausible deniability. As you go through the details of the allegations listed in the well-researched and well-written article, The Takedown of Washington, yesterday in the Washington Post, while the allegations were horrendous, reprehensible, certainly reflecting a toxic culture and a workplace that should never be tolerated with behavior that is ridiculous, focused on female employees, Snyder was not directly alleged to do anything wrong. Now, should he have known what was going on? Of course. But if you're looking for regime change, if you're looking for ownership change in Washington, I don't think it's going to happen. We'll come back to this in an hour to start the final hour of the program. But it is a Friday. It is probably the last time I'm working for a long time because, like everybody, the quarantine ain't been great in our business. So I am going to max out what I have to offer, and I want you to stay engaged. So hashtag it JTP, and the show within the show today has been Hacky Magoo with Tiger playing. I'm looking for your mulligans. Here is MTB Darren 1. If I could get just one life mulligan, I'd go back and introduce my ex-wife to OJ. Oh. I really got to pre-read these. Essay, Sports Honk. Webs, if I had a mulligan, I would have worn a different shirt today. Sincerely, Adam Hawk. Now, if it's a Nation golf shirt, you can't go wrong. You know, folks, I don't talk about a product unless I truly believe in it. Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Weber for Nation Golf. I'm not the demo. Plus, I don't think I'd fit into. You got an XXXL? Next time, if I'm lucky to be in this chair, I have figured out how to make my tiny bathroom into a steam room. That's why I feel like a new man based on what happened last night. The Parody Larry. Good luck to Jim Rome getting his chair back. The crew is going to need a chisel to get Weber's hand off that mic. Listen, I am downshifting as the show continues. And like mighty Excalibur, I'm going to pull this thing from its mooring. 1 for 3 CI. War Brian Weber being softball guy. Don't trip over the keg at second base. 512 Lumber. If I had a mulligan in life, I'd make sure the stage was lower. Sincerely, Barefoot Grape Smasher, news anchor lady.
Oh, 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 ow, 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 oh, stop, oh, stop, oh, 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 I can't breathe, stop.
Oh, no, oh,
boy,
dear.
I think she's actually hurt.
No,
there.
I think she is.
I love local news guy. I am reading whatever's in the prompter, and if I have to speak like a human being, my head will explode. Finally, SA Sports Hawk doubling up. Webs, I was the master of the double switch. Didn't you hear how well I double switched the letters of the alphabet? Sincerely, Tony La Russa.
RSTUVVZTUVXYXZ.
I'm not messing with Tony, because years ago when I used to co-host the Oakland A's pregame show, and the main host wasn't available, and I had to interview Tony, he would come over from the fungo session, because I'm a baseball guy. Forget about that mascot bit. I live the game. And he would sit during the pregame interview with a bat on his shoulder and look at me menacingly. And I'm 24 years old. Hey, Tony, you took 3 or 3 from the Tigers. And he's going to just whack my head open like Robert De Niro in The Untouchables. I'm not messing with Tony. Okay, let's get to the NBA as we're closer and closer to the games actually being played in the bubble less than 2 weeks from now. But since we still have that long runway, of course, we're talking about everything but basketball. Zion Williamson having to leave the bubble to attend to family matters. And if you think about how the resumption of the NBA has been put together, the reason we have the non-playoff teams, quote-unquote, in Orlando, the scrubs, if you want, A, it's all about cash. They're going to play these games to hit the threshold to kick in the local TV contract, so everybody in Orlando gets the money that they had coming from their regional broadcast partner on TV. But secondly, and this is not even NBA conspiracy time, when Tim Donaghy, Mr. Donaghy, online too, you can't tell me this whole thing wasn't engineered in part to get Zion Williamson on a national stage in the playoffs. Heck, first game coming up featured the Pelicans in the resumption. So let's see if Zion can come back in time, handle the quarantine, be medically cleared. But one of the motivations of the league was to get Zion into the postseason when they created that ridiculous 9-seed concept. That's all now still out there waiting to be resolved. Russell Westbrook, still in Houston, dealing with the coronavirus. And mostly, as I've had the great fortune to bring to you and highlight, it's dudes grumbling about the food, guys wandering off campus, crossing the line to pick up a pizza, or they were looking for something else to snack on. And the snitch line, it's an easy phone number. Don't call 1-800-636-8686. To snitch on NBA guys, call 1-800-HELLO-CHRIS-PAUL. But we are going to have games coming up. And although I am not confident the NBA will be able to finish their playoffs, I think they'll make it that far at least. And let's hope I'm wrong, but I'm just trying to be pragmatic and realistic, especially because these games will be played in Florida. And I don't think the baseball season will be finished. And I don't think the NFL is going to start on time. An hour from now, I'm going to tell you why college football clearly will be in the spring. If it's not in the spring, we no longer have college sports. That's coming up. But given the overall backdrop that this could be the strangest postseason we've ever seen, wouldn't it be fitting to culminate with words basketball fans thought they'd never hear? Your world champion, Los Angeles Clippers. Because nothing says we're living in bizarro world like the Clippers being one of the favorites to win it all, and I think they should be the favorite. Not doing gambling talk today. There's too much of that already floating around. But given all of the variables we've already encountered, Zion leaving the bubble, Russ not able to come in yet, depth is going to be the key factor in these playoffs. Clippers are deeper than anybody in the East. That's why I like the Celtics. But just think about where we are in the basketball landscape and who we're talking about. This is the Clippers, after all. And how many years did it take to remove the stench from the worst owner in all of sports, Donald Sterling? They've gone from a notorious racist to a guy who makes Chris Farley's motivational speaker seem like he was taking Quaaludes and Steve Ballmer.
Come on! Get out! Get out! Come on!
I like the Miami Sound Machine makes it even better, right? I remember years ago, Scott Farrell, radio legend, used to have music underneath his whole show. I might just go the greatness of Gloria Estefan for the rest of the way as a musical bed. So if the Clippers do what I thought they would do coming into the postseason conversation and the analysis, because if you follow me on Twitter, it's BW Weber. I've been saying this for months on social media. Clippers are going to win it all, and I'll give you the reasons why coming up, although Paul George could be the weakest link. If this actually happens, if this comes to pass, and Adam Silver hands Steve Ballmer the championship trophy in Orlando, that scene, even though it's going to have to be socially distanced, better include the great V. Stiviano on that podium wearing the Beekeeper's uniform. Because if V wasn't secretly recording old man Sterling and TMZ didn't get a hold of those tapes, who knows what the rest of NBA history would look like.
His silly rabbit.
His what?
His silly rabbit.
His silly rabbit?
Yes.
Is that what he calls you?
No. That's I call myself.
And you can take shots of V. And she was ahead of the curve. I think she knew the pandemic was coming when she had the beekeeper's lid on years ago. Obviously, she was walking Baba Wawa down that road. Why would I say wabbit? That makes no sense to me. Without V. Stiviano, we still have Sterling running this franchise into the ground, and I could do the full Clipper reset. Dr. Boudreaux, Benoit Benjamin, the Candyman, Michael Olowokandi. But let's just focus on the here and now. Even putting aside their big three in Lob City, as the Clips were able to dunk their way into nice postseason runs with Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin, but couldn't even make a conference finals because they're the Clippers. That's what they do. Going all the way back to their start in Buffalo and then cruising through San Diego. They have been the poster boys for dysfunction across all of sports for decades. But that's ancient history. And I won't be the old man shouting at clouds much longer, because the Clippers clearly have the deepest roster across the teams that you think have a legitimate chance of winning it all. And Kawhi Leonard has nothing to prove. He's already been the MVP of the NBA Finals twice. He lifted Toronto, of all franchises, to that unlikely NBA championship. He did it with load management. So the fact that he decided to bring his talents back to Southern California, where he grew up, he's under no sense of urgency to win it all now. Conversely, time's a-wasting for the king. LeBron James knows, in his heart of hearts, this is his best championship to win another best opportunity, best chance to win another championship, because he's never been more rested. You could argue that Anthony Davis is his best wingman since, well, he got a lot of help from Kyrie knocking down those critical shots in Game 7 against Golden State in the finals, plus what he got out of Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh in Miami's run. But LeBron specifically targeted AD. He got the running mate he was looking for, but the Lakers don't have the depth of the Clippers because Rajon Rondo has broken his thumb and Avery Bradley opted out. So who can you really trust beyond the king and Anthony Davis? You think Kyle Kuzma's going to hit a big shot for you? Or J.R. Smith's even going to know what time the game starts when he's wandering around Disney World? And, hey, my bad, we're playing a day game today. So the Lakers have real personnel challenges. Same thing in the East. Yeah, the Greek Freak should win the MVP award for the second straight year, putting him in incredibly elite company. But are you really riding with Chris Middleton as a reliable complementary talent? And now Eric Bledsoe dealing with the coronavirus, not able to join his teammates in the bubble. Sixers are completely dysfunctional if you're just looking at the personalities on that team. And now they've just figured out that Ben Simmons can play power forward. What a moment of clarity that was. Is that team Simmons' team or Embiid's team? The future strongly implies they're going to have to blow that thing up and pick one star to build around. And I've mentioned it a few times, and I know there's pushback on social media that perhaps Jason Tatum is not ready. But if we're just going to go with the variable of depth, Boston could be called the Clippers of the East with Hayward. And I know Kemba's dealing with the knee issue, and Tatum and the rest, and a bright basketball mind in Brad Stevens. But if the Clippers are going to do what even 5 years ago would have been unthinkable, win the Larry O'Brien Trophy, I think we got to move past just Kawhi being the man and the best two-way player in all of hoops and Lou Williams being reliable, same skill set he had when he was a Sixth Man of the Year award winner, and Patrick Beverley being the irritant. I think if we're looking for stakes, someone who has the most to prove individually, it's Paul George. Because, like Kawhi, he came home to Southern California. But for years, NBA insiders who are not nearly as plugged in as NFL insiders, if Adam Schefter says it, it's right. If some people who claim to be NBA insiders from their office behind the closet take a left deep towards the garage in their split-level home tell you something, don't put it in the win column necessarily, but everybody was saying it's a done deal. Paul George will join the Lakers. Well, he changed his mind, thanks to Kawhi. And Paul George has had an inconsistent season. Now, feels like ancient history, and I realize he was dealing with injuries, and because of load management, Kawhi and Paul George didn't get as much run together on the floor as we had anticipated coming in. And maybe we just hit the old reset button and say, it's all good, we're starting over. But for the Clippers to do the unimaginable, it's not just Kawhi being his consistent self, and it's not just Beverly D-ing up, and it's not Lou Williams hitting clutch shots. Paul George has a lot to play for. Because go back to when he was in Indy, and those teams couldn't get past LeBron James. Well, Paul George is going to have the same situation. And if Kawhi demands a double, there'll be open looks for Paul George. Will he knock him down? I'm not convinced. As much as I think the Clippers clearly should be the favorites to win the championship, let's see what Paul George does in high-leverage situations, because he was on quality teams in Indy and somehow, in critical situations, found a way to come up small. 1-800-636-8686. Emails, RomanAvatake.com. Today's social media thread, the show within the show, hashtag it JTP on Twitter. What mulligan would you use? I'm giving you not a golden ticket. I can't do that, but just a do-over. What do you want to change in your life? You can't change the fill-in host. Only an hour and 20 minutes left before Jim returns on Monday, so hang with me. Plus, I'll throw you some red meat coming up. Do we finally have the answer for why Mike Tyson has been working out as a boxer again? Was all of this about fighting a shark? Yes. I know I jumped the shark a long time ago. We're talking Iron Mike and a fish or a mammal. I'll Google coming up. I'm Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. You're in the jungle on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Playing the hits on the radio side. Easy listening with B-Web as I go third person. Brian Weber back with you in for Jim Rome. I love anything that is light 106.7. I'm a fan of Low, so if I can quote Barry Manilow, of course I like Barry Manilow. And yes, Barry Manilow knows I raid his wardrobe. Looks like we made it. Jim Rome is back on Monday. But we got a lot of business to attend to with yours truly in the chair. And you are heating up on Twitter with today's show within the show. Tiger Woods making it interesting. Wrapped up round two at the Memorial. Jack's event, he's won five times. Four over today. Three over for the tourney with the projected cut line at two over. So he's got a shot. In 15 minutes, we talk Tiger and everything else pertinent on the PGA Tour with a great friend of the jungle and my pal, Robert Lucetich, the noted golf writer. So with Tiger playing, and I'm Hacky Magoo, I'm offering you a mulligan, a do-over in any area of your life. Let's keep it going on Twitter. Here is Husker Rocker. Weber, if I could have one mulligan, I would have had a few fewer glasses of chlorophyll that fateful night. Signed, Donovan McNabb.
Chlorophyll.
I'm not reading what it said there, Adam Hawk. Adam Hawk now is woken up because Tiger is done. We might hear from him later. It said Donovan McFlab. I cleaned it up because I've worked with Donovan McNabb. I'm not saying we're friends, but he's a good dude and a cherished former colleague. Sandoz Shuffle. If I had a mulligan, I would have been a chiropractor. Signed, Jules Dentist. That was so bad, I should just get back to the Mike Tyson take, but there are no rules with the fill-in guy in the chair. Doubling up, Sandoz Shuffle, not once but twice. I wish I had a mulligan on that chili cheese dog at Dairy Queen. Yours, Ian Poulter.
It's two for me.
Okay. There are more, but I'm going to make the editorial decision to try to salvage the program. And there's one adult in the room on that side of the glass. XR4TI today, Adam Hawk, who now is working because Tiger's done. And the great Alvin DeLauro, back from a couple days off. Alvy, thanks for coming in. I realize you crack open that mic selectively. And if you want to wave me off, that's fine because I have the Mike Tyson take coming up. But because I'm looking for mulligans, and it's the goal of the program today to get everybody interactive. Now, there are obvious jokes I can make about how prolific you've been with procreation. So if I gave you a mulligan, maybe a vasectomy comes to mind, but I wouldn't go down that road because I have more self-esteem and more respect for you. But Alvin now sliding over into Adam Hawk's chair. Hey, can you do me a favor and stay there and run the board and Hawk and go? Look at this Tiger Woods shrine in his office. Alvin, if I gave you a mulligan, what would it be if you want to contribute to the program?
Well, thanks for having me on, Brian Weber with two Bs. It's nice to be on this side of the studio. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. Mulligan? That's a theme. What's the mulligan?
Oh, yes, my mulligan. My mulligan, I had some. You told me this question earlier today, and I was thinking, you know, I've been playing fantasy football for a very long time, and I feel like I was on the ground floor of the whole industry, and if I would have applied myself more, maybe I could have been in the industry more, kind of where Matthew Berry is, but not that far ahead. But I remember my first draft. I got Jerome Bettis. Yeah. I got Jerome Bettis and Ricky Waters when he was with Seattle, and that was the year that what was that? Cordell Stewart. Cordell Stewart blew up. Remember when he blew up like in the middle of the season?
/ close personal friend of mine. Yeah,
great guy. Incredible that rookie year. If I had a mulligan, I would apply myself more. Instead of just doing our little league that we've been in for 20 plus years, it would have been to focus on growing the industry at the ground floor.
Well,
thank you.
A man can dream. That is more that I've heard from Alvin in one dose than in the 20 years that I've been listening to this show. Thank you. Didn't think it'd be that kind of candor, but I appreciate a confession from Alvin DeLauro. Although you can dream bigger than Matthew Berry, and you can do better than the sequel to Crocodile Dundee that was unwatchable. Okay, let's talk Tyson. And now Adam Hawk has woken up. He wants to be a part of the show. Maybe at the end, pal. You don't get credit for working half a shift. The grind includes Friday. Mike Tyson might be playing all of us. And if we think about comebacks, don't call it a comeback. He's been here for years. Has anybody in sports changed their public perception more than Mike Tyson? If I can get serious for a little bit, we're talking about a convicted felon here with serious criminal allegations that were proven in the court of law. Mike Tyson couldn't get a 9-to-5 job based on his criminal record, but because we are a forgiving culture, and because he seems to have sincerely changed, Mike Tyson is everywhere now. The cameos in the movies with Zach Galifianakis, I almost articulated that cleanly. The Hangover flicks. Mike Tyson had a one-man show. He is a cannabis entrepreneur. Jamie Foxx, Academy Award-winning actor, going to play Tyson in a biopic. Mike Tyson has become a force in pop culture once more. And because we've all been desperate for anything sports-related during the quarantine, Mike Tyson's been going viral with these videos of him back in the ring. Would he really come back at the age of 54? Is he going to have an exhibition and a payday with Tyson Fury? Because somebody named Tyson's got to win the fight. All right, about Tyson versus Holyfield, part three to complete the trilogy. Almost as interesting as Godfather 3 was. Mike Tyson knows just when we try to get out, he pulls us back in by creating buzz that seemingly was going someplace, like getting him back in the ring. But what if Tyson really was just pulling a swerve on all of us? And what if recent activity didn't have any pugilistic goals in mind? Because look at the calendar. We're closing in on August. What does summertime mean for many of us, even in this bizarre year? Yep, Shark Week is coming up. And because we're officially out of ideas, the good people behind Shark Week tried to raise the stakes in their production this year. Coming up, August 9th, the fight you never needed to see, titled Tyson versus Jaws, Rumble for the Reef. Just give me the name. I don't need to waste the time of actually sitting down and watching this thing because you know what's coming. But of course, if there's money to be made, Michael Buffer will hop on that gravy train one more time. He's handling the announcing, and I'm not doing his gimmick because I'd have to cut him a check right now. The tail of the tape in this interspecies heavyweight bout pits Tyson against a great white shark.
You can't last 2 minutes in my world, bitch.
And I know you want me to go category by category. Who has the edge in things like throwing a jab or defending against a dorsal fin?
My defense is impregnable.
Clearly, the promos already have been cut with lame puns about biting. In this corner, a man who bit off a chunk of Evander Holyfield's ear. In that corner, a carnivorous beast who will bite off your arm. Mike Tyson has been playing all of us. I've been had, hoodwinked,
Alexander. He's no
bamboozled,
Alexander.
And led astray. All of these videos that we thought were foreshadowing a comeback, instead we'll get Mike Tyson in some lame situation. This is why I know I don't need to watch it. Let's see, Mike Tyson in a cage, underwater, and the shark CGI'd next to him, and he'll knock him out somehow. Or it'll be an homage to a James Bond movie from the mid-70s when the character Jaws, the great Richard Kiel, bit the shark. No, there's no jeopardy coming up for Mike Tyson underwater. This thing is going to be more of a ripoff than when he fought that tomato can, Peter McNeely. But Iron Mike continues to prove it ain't over till it's over. Don't call it a comeback. He's fighting a shark.
You have a big dump in your pants.
That might have been the greatest segment Alvin has ever produced. He started with an in-depth, sincere answer about career goals and aspirations, and then he played every sound drop on the board. I don't think we can top that. Should I just walk off and we'll play Gloria Estefan for the rest of the remainder of the program? Coming up, we're on Tiger. Watch, 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 watch. Round two is done at the Memorial. He made it intriguing. Tiger, 4 over today, 3 over for the event. Projected cut line, +2 with 68 players currently. 2 over or better. We're talking golf. And Tiger's future, because in 3 weeks on CBS, question becomes, will he be a major factor at the PGA Championship? Robert Lucetich, the noted golf writer, is our guest straight ahead. But first, it's time for an update. Rich Ackerman has the particulars.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
We roll on. Great to have you with us on a jam-packed Friday here in the jungle. Jim, still in the basement. Fear not. back from vacation on Monday. So, want to maintain our momentum? 1-800-636-8686. Emails, RomanAvatake.com. Today's program within the program, golf-related, with Tiger Woods making it interesting after a lousy start to round two at the Memorial. Handing out mulligans to you, all the listeners. What would you do over in your life? Let me know on Twitter. BW Weber, as we close in on the final hour of the program, back to the NFL to start hour number three. All of the dysfunction surrounding the football team in our nation's capital. But with Tiger in action, hopefully this weekend, if you're a golf fan, going to be precarious to make the cut, but we'll find out how the math goes. Let's bring in an old friend, a frequent contributor here in the jungle. It's Robert Lucetich, the noted golf writer, author of the book about Tiger Woods entitled Unplayable. Robert, it's been a while. How are you?
B. Webb, it's been a long time since we were doing those digital interviews over at Fox Sports.
Yes, remember when they actually had a website that was functioning. But that's a story for a different day. Let's talk about what's happening in golf. And I'll get to Tiger in a bit. I want to have an overall thought because I really do value your opinion. Given everything happening in the world, and casual fans may know, fans were supposed to be allowed at the Memorial. The idea was this would be the first event to actually have galleries, but obviously things have changed in Ohio and elsewhere. Big picture, how do you think golf has done given how fundamentally our world has changed?
I honestly think they've done a great job. I think that they went out with the idea of saying, how can we make this work? Rather than sit on their hands and say, you know, as we've seen in other parts where it's just like waiting for someone to go first. And I think that we've seen, you know, a lot of that where people are afraid to be the first ones. I think I give the PGA Tour a lot of credit for saying, look, let's try and get the show back on the road, get back to some level of normal, as obviously it's not going to be normal, and let's get let's get these guys playing. I don't believe that having fans was realistic. I think that as I think Jack Nicklaus would have liked it. I think a lot of people, there were people that would have liked it, but I just don't think it was the responsible thing to do when we are seeing such a big spike in numbers of COVID-19 around the country. But look, the best place to enjoy a golf tournament is in front of a television set. And that's coming from a guy that's been, greenside many, many times, watching Tiger Woods. So you're always jostling for position. And when the crowds are deep, as with a Tiger crowd, where you're talking, 10, 15 deep. I mean, I just don't think we can have that in this era right now.
I'm Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. We are talking golf with Robert Lucetich here on CBS Sports Radio. Robert, Bryson DeChambeau has been shining over the last month. We saw the drive yesterday better than 430 yards. How much is he defying conventional wisdom by bulking up and embracing all that data for wind vectors and air density? Certainly you can't argue with the results.
No, you can't argue with the results. And I think that he's an interesting, he's definitely one of the more fascinating people that in the world of sports, because he is a very quirky, peculiar sort of a fellow, but very much, is coming at things out of left field. He's very much a guy that thinks a lot about the sport, about how he can be better, but he's outside of the box. He's I'm sure that in the current world we live in, there'd be people sending him off to the school nurse, but if he was a kid right now. But he's an adult and he gets to do what he wants to do. Do I think that it's particularly a great idea to put on 30 pounds? And you obviously can't put on 30 pounds of muscle. No one can do that in this short a period of time. So he's eaten a lot, there's a lot of shakes and a lot of big breakfasts in his diet. But you can't argue with the results. I mean, I don't know if, you know, is it good for his body? Who knows? He's still young, but he can certainly change it. But he's now looking like an NFL lineman, which is a different, you know, way, when a different approach to golf. And if you look at a guy like a Rory who hits at 9 miles, you know, he's maybe 5'9", 150 pounds. Ricky Fowler, these guys, they're not very big guys, Justin Thomas, but they create that torque. And DeChambeau's gone about it in a different way. And I think he's going to change the sport, because now that guys are seeing that bulking up can really create, you know, essentially he's sort of a Marvel character. You know, he's created this Incredible Hulk persona, but he is smashing it. And I think, you know, what's incredible is, of course, you can get guys out there, these long drive guys, they can hit at 9 miles, but they're not really golfers. They're just long drivers. And what's impressed me about DeChambeau, he's not a guy that has a lot of natural feel, I would say. He's not a finesse player. He's very much a, you know, a thinker, a scientist. But boy, I mean, when he won in Detroit, I mean, his putting was fantastic. His wedge play was good. So, you know, he really is changing the sport. And it's rare that we say that about anything these days.
Well, Tiger Woods certainly changed the world of golf forever. He had an up and down round today. Second round at the Memorial, got hot on the back nine for him. Wrapped up 3 over for the event with a projected cut line at +2. So let's put aside takeaways through 2 rounds and think about legacy, because at some point he's going to win another tournament, move past Sam Snead for the most career PGA Tour wins. Clearly, Tiger's been motivated by one goal, that's to get past Jack with the record of 18 majors. But Robert, what do you think it will mean to Tiger when he breaks Sam Snead's record?
Look, I think it'll mean a lot to him, but definitely Jack's majors record is the one that has always been the one that he circled, and I think that he's aspired to it since he was a child. And look, the PGA Tour has got a lot of people that work for it, and that they do a lot of good things, and they also sit around coming up with ideas. I mean, I'd never even heard of Sam Snead's record, let's say 10 years ago. Nobody talked about it. Nobody knew that Sam Snead had won the events he'd won, and everything was about Jack's record. But the tour obviously does not own any majors, and so this record is more of a PGA Tour record. I think, obviously, Tiger would be super proud to do it. I also think that he will do it. But what we see now from Tiger is that he's entering, I said this on Twitter earlier, he's entering the pinch hitter phase of his career. He's not a day-in, day-out guy anymore. I think we saw that today. I think physically, you know, his swing speed was way down today. I think his back was bothering him. And obviously, he's got a surgically repaired back. And I don't think that we can see him be the consistent player that he was for so many years. But again, that doesn't mean he's not going to win. We saw him Japan win. I mean, he's going to win. And obviously, most famously, we saw him at Augusta National last year. And, you know, what really is one of his greatest ever triumphs, to come back from everything he's been through the last 10 years. So it's a different Tiger Woods. But look, wouldn't you still have gone to see Michael Jordan if he was coming off the bench and still could bring something? You know, we all would have. Even if he wasn't what he once was, he can still at some point get to what he used to be, just not consistently. So, you know, he's got this past couple of days have been, I think, interesting. He hasn't played for so long, obviously. He got off to a really hot start. 2 under after 3, hit one to like 14 inches on the third hole. And then things just today, obviously, they weren't very good. He did not hit many fairways, didn't hit many greens. But towards the end, the old Tiger, and this is what I really liked about today, he could have mailed that one in and missed the cut comfortably and just said, you know, didn't have it, guys. But he birdies his third to last hole, second to last hole, and then gets unbelievable up and down on his last hole. And at least he's got a chance to play the weekend.
Robert, always a distinct pleasure. I appreciate the analysis. Great to chat with you. Take care and hope to do it again soon on CBS Sports Radio.
You got it, D-Web, and we will.
Robert Lucetich, check out the book. It is specially applicable with the HBO documentary In the Works coming out in December. Rachel Yucatel will be interviewed on camera for the first time. Robert wrote about Tiger's implosion. Unplayable is the book. That analysis brought to you by Grainger. As you get back to business, Grainger's there to help with supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and much more. Visit Grainger.com/recovery. Grainger for the ones who get it done. If you were with us on Tuesday, I've known Adam Hawk for 7 years. We had the most intelligent conversation I've ever heard uttered by Adam on or off the air. Now he's working from a script. Nothing wrong with that. Who would write out the radio show? What is this paper in my hand? But Adam gave us thoughtful analysis about Tiger. My counter is, if we're handing out mulligans, most of the career implosion was due to horrible decisions that were his own damn fault. Put the injuries aside. 2009, he had 14 majors. He was blowing past Jack. Then he decided to canoodle with every VIP hostess he could meet. I'm giving you mulligans on Twitter. What would you change? What would you do over? It's B.W. Weber talking more NFL to start the final hour. More drama in Washington. Plus, if college football isn't played at all, can college sports survive? That's on the way. Weber in for Rome. You're in the jungle. It's CBS Sports Radio.